Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network. I am your hostess, Pat Rulo. We bring you hand-selected hosts, podcasts, and talk radio programming with listening options, 24/7 streaming or listen on demand. We also feature one-on-one segments with important guests, people who have something to say that you need to hear. And if you have something to say and would like to be featured on the network, please visit speakuptalkradio.com for all of the details or contact us at PR@speakuptalkradio.com. Well, right now, I have a short interview to share with you with an author who is a little bit sweet and a whole lot of naughty. She is Connie LaFortune. Connie's a shift supervisor by day and an author at night. She loves spending time with her family and friends, taking walks along the beach and listening to music. If she's not in her office writing, you can bet she's curled up on the couch with her nose buried in a book. Connie lives in Connecticut with her husband, Alan. She is a true believer in love conquering all, this being the reason why she loves writing romance novels. She wants to create a story based on strong, believable characters, ones that will make you laugh, cry, and feel every emotion under the sun. She also wants to leave you breathless and begging for more. And I don't want to leave you begging for more, so let's bring her on. Welcome to the network, Connie.
Thanks for having me, Pat.
Oh, my pleasure. Now, you write naughty romance novels. Why?
Well, I just love pushing buttons, and I want to give the reader everything that they want. Not for everyone, I realize that. Some like the little queen romances, but if that's what they're looking for, then my books are not for them. I like to have them feel all the emotions. Obviously, when you're in love with someone, sex is part of the love. And I write sexy love stories. It's all love stories. It's not explicit sex from beginning to end. But it does have a few intricate sex scenes inside while they're traveling along on their journey. I do believe some readers, that's what they're looking for. I like to try to feel everybody out, take their feedback into consideration and go from there. And that's what I've come across. They want real emotion, real feeling, real explicit, you know, sex, and that's why I write it. I enjoy it. I like to push buttons, like I said, so that's what I do.
Well, you're obviously good at it because you've got three books going, which we're going to talk about in a minute, but I also read somewhere that music was a big part of your life. How so, and how does that affect your writing at all?
It has been, yes. My mother played the piano, my father played the guitar, my brother played drums. I, on the other hand, can't play an instrument, can't hold a tune, so I'm creative through my writing. My grandfather actually started a big band way back in the day. I'm pushing, you know, I'm telling people how my age is now. But he had a big band way back, and my uncles were a part of it. I really don't remember what the name of the band was, but he owned a music store also, so my mother grew up, she was one of seven children, so she grew up in that environment and passed it along to, you know, her children and passed it along to my dad. And he loved the guitar and always used to play and sing and make up his own songs, but he was wonderful. He could actually hear a song once and then play it on the guitar, so he had a really keen ear. So a lot of our weekends were spent around the piano, like singing and dancing and playing, and it was a great time, and I miss that very, very much because I don't hear of that too often in this day and age any longer. And I also love to, like, you know, just have a playlist, like playing softly in the background when I'm writing. To me, it just sets the tone and the mood for the story. There are some scenes, obviously, that it's disruptive, so I'll shut it off, but for the most part, it's playing really, really softly in the background. So it's really a lost art, I think. Probably because it seems like everybody's working 24/7 in this day and age. And yes, way back in the day, you know, we weren't working on Sundays. We worked half day on Wednesdays. So we had that day. We had that time to be able to spend quality time with the family. But unfortunately, they don't have that now.
No, but at least we had a chance to experience that, and it sounds like you grew up in a very creative household. And so, I mean, the creativity obviously passed along to you because now you are author of several books, and I want to talk about them briefly. The first one is titled Because of You, which was written in 2013. Give us a little peek into that book.
Because of You was my debut novel. It probably could use a little polishing, truthfully, at the moment. I'm thinking of redoing a little bit of it and probably popping on a new cover and just setting the tone once more. It's about love and loss and a tragedy of holding on to family secrets and how being open and honest in a relationship is obviously one of the biggest things that you'll want in a relationship is trust, openness, honesty, communication, and what happens along a journey if that's being held back and not being given. So I'm proud of it. Hunter's voice was very, very loud, and that's the reason why I decided to write the novel. I felt like it had to be put on paper and that other people would love to read it because I think they can relate to it. And if anything else, if anybody gets a message, a hidden message from any of my books while they're reading it, that is really my main goal and my main focus, that they enjoy it, they get the hidden meaning, and they come out a better person and happier after reading it.
See, that's important. You say at the beginning that you write a little bit naughty, but that's not the point or the focus. It's just part of the relationship between the people. But really, you do have other threads and other messages within the book that you want your readers to take away.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. They're all three of them are hands down love stories. And it's just the ups and downs that people go through their journey with one another. Sacrifices that they make, et cetera. And like I said, it's obviously that sex plays an important role, but I've been told by several people that my sex scenes, whether they're being explicit or not, are very tastefully done. They're not, they're not drab by no means, but they're explicit, but they're very well done. And it just, it goes hand in hand with the story and the journey that they've taken along the way.
And that's got to be an art in and of itself to be able to write those kind of scenes with some class and taste and yet get the emotion across to the reader.
Well, I'd like to hope so, and I'd like to hope that I do it well. At one time, someone classified me as pornography, and I said, oh, no. I said, there's a big difference between pornography, erotica, and all that. My books are just contemporary romance, just a sensible romance. It's just that I do put a little bit sweet and a whole lot of naughty because I want people to understand that it's not recommended for anyone under 18. And but it has a lot of meaning, and it's the journey that they take together that I want people to take away from reading the books.
Got it. Now, your second book, The Claiming of Callan, are these new characters or do you continue your characters through your books?
They're all standalone. So, The Claiming of Callan is a standalone. It's based on a story of heartache and a man's struggle to live without regrets about decisions he cannot change. He met the love of his life when he was 15. He moved in next door to her. A tragedy took place later on in life, and he had to pick up his family and move to New York and leave Callan, the love of his life, behind. So it's about him being a family man. It's about him being a son, about being a brother, about being a role model and a fill-in father, and having to put that above and beyond his love. It's about second chances, second chance romance. It's coming of age story. And this one delves a little bit deeper into maybe a little bit more psychological and how people can overcome their emotions and their heartache when they can finally come to grips with what happened in their life. So this one holds a special place in my heart, I think, out of all of them, truthfully.
Any pulling from real life situations or people you know, or do these scenes and scenarios just come to you? Are you creating them or are your characters creating them?
They're actually creating them as I go. When I sit with my laptop, it's like I don't have an outline. I don't have anything, a destination in mind. I just let them guide me through their voice, and I write it. And once it's finished, obviously, I go back and I tweak it up and change things around maybe a little bit. But I let them guide me with their voice.
I'm always fascinated by that, how you are actually doing the writing, yet there's something else going on that's leading you along, and these characters develop their own personalities and lead you to where they want to go. I just find that very, very interesting.
It is. It is, really. It's like, because sometimes you'll start off with a thought, and you'll start off with how you think the story is going to go, and then your fingers have a mind of their own, and they're going in a different direction, and you're like, wait, this is not right. But then when you read it back, you go, oh, yeah, that's it. Yeah. That's the way I'm going with it. And then you change it up totally. And that's the fascinating part, yeah. I find.
I love that. Okay, let's talk about your last book, Bound by Steel, from written in 2016 or published in 2016.
Yes. That one's about a log cabin, about how he's a recluse. Riker's a recluse because he lost the love of his life. He lost his wife to a hit-and-run accident. And after that happened, and he had a few botched investigations, and they couldn't find who did it, he just shut down. He didn't want to live in society. He didn't want to live in the kind of world where things like this happen. And he just, you know, moved into a log cabin with his dog, Cody. And he was working for the government, so obviously he was able to do his work from there with his monitors, his computers, his screens. And then out of the clear blue sky one day, he happens to check one of the monitors, and there's a car accident down on one of the trails. And when he rescues her, she looks just like his past wife. So it's a struggle for him to be able to take care of her and nurture her and do what needs to be done to keep her alive while he has the memory of his dead wife. And then he makes a big mistake, and he tells her his real name, which obviously he's not supposed to do because he's kind of incognito. So once he does that, he realizes his mistake, and now he tells her, you can never leave. So that's the premise of the story, and it goes throughout that way. That's my first romantic suspense, and there's quite a few of my readers that think that's my best work yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as you're speaking of that, I'm thinking that sounds fascinating.
Yes.
And what a premise to rescue someone who looks like your previous deceased wife, and what do you do
What you would do. That came to me in a dream, actually, and I just embellished a little bit on it, and the rest is history, as they say.
I love it. Such a fertile brain you've got, right? So what's next for you? What are you working on now?
Now I'm working on Private Messages. He's a club owner. Zane is a club owner, and he actually owns Club Syn, S-Y-N. And he's so wrapped up in his business and so wrapped up in his life that, you know, and being successful, that he's kind of letting everything go, his family and things like that. I have no time for love. And then all of a sudden, he meets a woman who happens to be a writer who comes to his club one day, and they're having like a function. They're having like a book signing there and everything, and it's an after party. And he happens to meet her, and he just, for some reason, she tugs at him, she pulls at him, and he just has to get to know her. And it's about their journey together through a lot of heartache and pain. She had lost someone she loved very much and never thought there'd be another person for her. But she happens to have an attraction towards Zane, and she wants to act out on it. But in the back of her mind, she's, you know, thinking that this can't be real. I can only have one love in my life. No one has two loves this much in their life. So it's intricate. I'm hoping that it's going to be out by the end of the summer. That's what I'm hoping for right now.
Okay.
Towards the end of the summer.
All right. Well, we better not keep you very much longer, because you've got a lot more work to do.
I always do.
Oh my gosh.
It's a great talking to you.
It is. It is. I know we've then given a nice little highlight of your three books, so I think that's going to entice our listeners. Is there anything we missed that you wanted to bring up?
No, not really. I think we covered the basics. So I think we covered just about everything. Anything else they want to know, they can check out my website or my Facebook page or Instagram or all the social media sites I'm on.
All right. Well, why don't you send us then to your website and those places?
Okay. Well, my address for my website is easy peasy because I want to make things easy for everybody. So it's just www.connielafortune.com. Instagram is the same, www.instagram.com/ConnieLaFortune. And Facebook is the same. All they have to do is just do the whole Connie LaFortune, and everything would pop up in Google anyway.
Got it, got it. So it's Connie LaFortune, LaFortune, ConnieLaFortune.com. Three books are Because of You, The Claiming of Callan, and Bound by Steel. And I think we'll have to do this again sometime once your next book comes out, or maybe the one after that, so that we could do a follow-up and find out what else you've been up to. Any final words before we head out?
It was a pleasure talking to you, Pat. I think you have an amazing show, and I think what you're doing for the Office series is wonderful, and I'd like to thank you personally for it.
Thank you. I appreciate that, and I appreciate having you today. We're sending everyone over to ConnieLaFortune.com, and let's do this again, my friend.
Sounds great. I'll give you a call as soon as private messages is finished. Thank you, Pat.